You're Rick, right? I'm Negan.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, a podcast about comic books, video games, movies, television, and everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips, Brandon Stone, and Shuddy Boy.
You know, you're one bad day away from being me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Journey into Comics. Today in-house, Brando.
Hey, what's up?
You're at my house.
I am.
How was the drive up?
It was okay. I noticed that as you get closer to the northern part of the state, everything's crazy.
Okay, how do you figure?
Well, because there's just billboards everywhere.
Okay.
Where you have Crazy D's, you know, truck stop. And you have Crazy Kaplan's fireworks. And it just makes me think of, like, Crazy Taxi.
Okay, I like
Crazy Taxi. And so, like, all these places that they get that voice actor that does, like, the narrator for, like, you know, for the overvoice for Crazy Taxi.
So you were hearing that when you were driving
I was,
up.
Like, you know, Crazy D's, like, come in and save some crazy and money.
Awesome.
It's I just kind of like it. Every time I drive up here, I always notice something different, and that's just I just saw Crazy D's, and I just saw the Crazy Taxi.
Dude, I love that that you brought Wyatt up.
I did,
and he got to experience the room.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. He doesn't understand the room, but
no, he someday. Doesn't understand. Don't touch either yet. So.
Yeah,
so we're gonna keep him out. But if you guys do hear some crying, that's man, it's because he's in the other room
crying.
Yeah.
Obviously. So today, Brando.
Yes.
We have guests.
We have some very special guests.
They're Skyping in through the interwebs.
Yes.
Justin and George from Speak No Evil, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us.
Hey, guys.
All right. So that was Justin that said hi first and George that was second?
Yes.
Sure. I'm not too sure. It was kind of at the same time. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Fine. That's cool. So what's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, man? Well, how are you doing?
We are good. I guess I'm just going to have to go by names and give you, like to start. Let's go with, all right, so let's just get into the thick of things, guys. You guys have a comic book that's on Kickstarter right now. It's Speak No Evil. Let's talk about that to start. Who wants to kind of give our listeners a rough synopsis of what your book's about and why they should be interested?
Justin, I'll go. He's better at doing the rundown a lot better than I am.
Okay, yeah, I know how fine. That is. All right.
Okay, so Speak No Evil is a action adventure story with horror and comedy elements. I've gotten by for years by scamming people, stealing stuff, just sort of living on the outskirts of society. They don't really have parents, as far as anybody knows that's reading the book. But unfortunately for them, they steal from the wrong guy. And it's the leader of this very nefarious gang, and he kind of puts him on the run. Like, he goes after him hard, try to pay him back for stealing from him. And the boys end up hiding out in this abandoned cabin they find in the woods. The interesting thing about the cabin is that 10 years before the boys get there, H.P. Lovecraft and Nikola Tesla used it for experiments. They tried to contact other dimensions, and they were successful. So they brought things through that terrified them, so they packed everything up, abandoned the project. And they meant to dispose of the stuff, but they left it there. So when the boys find it, it kind of sets them on this course that is going to change their lives forever.
Oh, man, I love that concept. Like, Tesla, H.P. Lovecraft, create these crazy experiments. I'm sure probably you've got different kinds of different elemental monsters and creatures that have come through, different kinds of crazy circumstances and consequences that have happened from their experiments. And I love that kids, how old are these kids?
Silas is the oldest one. He's 14.
Okay.
And Edwin is the younger one. He's 13.
So
that Silas was 15. It doesn't matter. I don't remember off the top of my head right now.
So these kids are, I mean, they're teens, and teens are, you know, curious people. So obviously they break into this place and shenanigans happen. I mean, almost instantaneously, I would assume.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. They're not just going to sit on their hands. They've got to explore the place.
They're just like, oh, this is boring. Who's Tesla? This doesn't matter to me. So let's talk about this. You guys are almost funded. You're like
really close.
I think Brandon just checked. Was it under? It was $695 left to go. I think you said
The goal is 4,800, and it's at 4,105.
See, that's awesome. So you guys are right there at the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
8 days left to go. I backed it. I put my $10 towards you guys. I have to get a physical copy. The art looks awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Let's talk about your team. Who all is on this book?
You want to talk, George?
Yeah. So it's me and Justin. We're the creators. We got Samir Samau, who's our artist from Brazil. Chun Lin, who is our colorist. She is from China. And Ben Krieger, who I believe is from Arizona. He's our letterer.
He's from Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, we know.
From the U.S.
Yeah,
I was thinking someone was in Nevada for some reason, or he was talking to us somewhere from the one point. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's no.
We're all over. We're an international company.
Yeah, I mean that's awesome to be. We're kind of an international company too because we're all over the place. We've got a host in Pennsylvania. Brandon lives 2.5 hours south of me, so we don't really see each other regularly. And I know what that's like, man. It's fun. Hey, your working hours are not my working hours.
Yeah. Yeah. How is like
it's
the.
It's been a little bit of a managing huddle almost.
Yeah. I was going to say, how is like the communication process for that, especially since you have someone all the way across on the other side of the planet?
Well, the cool thing is that we have Facebook Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
So Samir is actually really easy to talk to. We can just send him a message, and whenever he wakes up, he sees it and gets right back to us. So there's usually not a lot of delay there. Chun Lin, we pretty much only talk to through email. She's in China.
Mm-hmm.
So good thing about her is that she works incredibly, incredibly fast. So like anything we ask her to do, any changes we ask her to make to pages or anything, she gets it done like within 6 hours. We usually have something new. We'll ask her before we go to bed and we'll wake up and there's something completely brand new sitting in our inbox waiting for us. She's just incredible. They both are.
Awesome. So like, is there like, I take it that there isn't much of a language barrier then?
No, they're both very...
It hasn't been one yet, yeah.
Awesome.
It's more of a cultural barrier a little bit with Samir.
Yeah.
Because he didn't grow up in America, so he's not really sure about what things might have looked like in America in the 1930s.
Mm.
So when we tell him to draw something like a phonograph, for example, he may not draw it the way we envision it because he hasn't really seen a lot of movies that have phonographs. So if we send him an actual picture of what we want it to look like, then he can make that exactly. But if he tries to do it off the top of his head or off of what he's heard it looks like, doesn't always come out exactly how we envision it.
Good nonetheless, though.
It's always good. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, that's so that's cool. Now let me ask you this. Does that sometimes lead to neat things happening where he might not know what a phonograph is and he, you know, envisions one and draws you a picture and you're like, that's not it, but that's a really cool design. We need to use that for something else, you know? Does anything like that?
Has happened. Actually, it happened a couple times.
Oh, that's awesome. So you guys have a good flow of work with these people. That's really excellent. So now let's kind of get into the real fun part about Kickstarters. What are some of the rewards you guys, and you guys can take turns tackling them in detail, but just get these listeners an idea of what they're spending their money for, you know?
Well, every little bit helps. I mean, if you can only contribute a dollar, if the story sounds interesting to you, but you just want to help us, a dollar gets you a thank you in the back of the book. $5 will get you a digital copy. $10 will get you the physical copy and access to a special behind-the-scenes podcast that we're doing. The name of the book is Speak No Evil, so we're doing a behind-the-scenes podcast called Speak Some Evil.
It's genius. I love that.
That was pretty funny.
It's clever.
We're doing two of those, and the first one's available at the $10 level. If you pledge $15, you get the digital copy and the physical copy and the podcast. We have a retailer level, so if there's any shops out there that want to order multiple copies of the physical book to put on their shelves, please do. Right now we have $25 gets you 5 copies, but if you want to order more, we can always work out a deal. Just contact us directly at $25 for regular people. You can get the digital physical copy, both of the behind the scenes podcasts, and one of the 11x17 prints of your choice. And we have 3 really awesome variant cover / original prints that we're giving away with Kickstarter. They were done by artist friends of ours. The first one is James Linares, who's a local artist here in Houston with us. The second one is from Devin Kraft, who's a really talented artist from Dallas. And then the third one is from a guy named Chris Ryder. who we haven't even talked about this yet, but George and I are both podcasters as well. I do a show called Comical Podcast, and George does a show called Metal Geeks. And we have a guy named Chris Ryder who does a comic strip, comes out weekly in conjunction with my show, and the strip's called Horse Minions. It's based on characters that my co-host creates. But he did one of the variant covers for us, and it's really just awesome. It's really eerie-looking cabin in the woods kind of thing. So you get a choice between one of those three as a print at that level. And then at $35, you get two prints. At $40, you can get the physical digital copy, both podcasts, and the shirt of your choice. We have two different really cool shirt designs. At $45, you get all three prints, plus all the copies and the podcasts.
Oh, do we lose you?
$50 gets you... I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. You cut out a little bit, but hey, this is Journey into Comics. We're not professionals, so just you just pick up where you left off, man, and we'll continue on. You said I think you started to speak about the $50 level, and it cut you out.
Okay, so at $50, you get the digital physical copy, both podcasts, one print of your choice, and one t-shirt. At $60, you get two prints and one t-shirt and a digital physical copy, both podcasts. At $65, you get all the prints, one shirt of your choice, the digital and physical copy, and both podcasts. And then at $120, you get the physical copy, the digital copy, both podcasts, a copy of the original script for the book, plus one of each variant cover printed on an actual comic.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Awesome.
At $175, you get an original inked page from the comic. We have 10 of those we're giving away, and so far we've only sold two. So there's 8 of those slots still left. That comes with the original script and the digital and physical copy, plus the two podcasts. And then I think that's the highest level we have still left. We have some add-ons. You can buy the 11x17 prints for $12 each. You want to add them on. You can get either t-shirt for $25 each, or you can get any of the signed variant covers for $20 each as an add-on.
Oh, well, I think you guys have some really awesome rewards, actually. What do you think, Brando? Thank you.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, I've always been interested in Kickstarters because I have an eye on a few things that I've wanted to kind of do in the past. One of them, most recently, was the Coleco Chameleon, and that fell right on its face.
What was that?
It was a new cartridge-based gaming system.
Ew.
We don't have to get into it here right now. Okay. That is a whole, like, that is something that needs to get unpacked. I've actually haven't talked about it on any podcast.
You're going to have to talk about it on Gaming Addicts at some point.
Yeah, you know, I think we will. But yeah. Is this your guys' first Kickstarter project at all?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Wow. For being your guys' first, I mean, it seems like you've done good marketing, you've done good research, and it seems that, I mean, fingers crossed, I know it's 8 days away, but trending like you guys are going to be successful, I would hope. I mean, I know you
guys.
I mean, it would be foolish if you guys are like, yeah, we don't really hope it is successful. We hope it, you know, fails. But so let's back. We're going to rewind a little bit here into that last thing. You guys podcast. And Ned, I will say that in my half-assed research, I did listen to like about 25 or 30 minutes of one of the episodes of Comical Podcast, and I really enjoyed it. I will say, Justin, you guys are awesome over there. I didn't know George had a podcast, though, and now I feel like a total schmuck. Like, and it's
about... Well, I'm one of the three co-hosts for Metal Geeks, and I'm like the geeky one, or the most geeky one out of the other two, so...
Well, that's interesting that you guys are going to mesh really well with us because Brandon and I's first love is actually metal. So,
oh, there you go.
Hyper, awesome. Hyper inter. And actually, today's episode with you guys on is going to be a nod to the metal band Iced Earth. We're calling the episode Pure Evil.
Love it.
Because you guys are, you know. So, let's talk about your guys' podcast. Let's go, George, first. Metal Geeks, what do you guys do over there? I mean, where can people find this? I'm very interested to listen now.
The easiest way to find us is just go on iTunes and just search Metal Geeks. You'll get two podcasts when you subscribe. You'll get MSRcast, which is Carrie, the head Metal Geek. That's his first original show called Mainstream Resistance. And then Metal Geeks is the geeky fun metal show where we talk about comics, movies, music, theme parks, anything and everything that interests us, and we bullshit for about an hour or so. That's awesome. Have a good time doing it.
Sounds just like something I like to listen to. So, so I'll be definitely checking that out. Now, Justin, you guys, I loved your format. You guys just open forum, talk about a lot of different things. There's a lot of comedy to your comic podcast. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you. Yeah. One of the things we noticed about most of the comic book podcasts out there is that they didn't really talk that much about comics. So we wanted to make our show very comic centric from the beginning. So pretty much every episode, we talk about our favorite comics of the week to begin with. Then we move into a segment called Tell Me a Funny Story. And every week we talk about something funny that's happened to one of us. And then after that, we move into the comics and movie and TV news of the week. And just sort of anything else we want to talk about, we kind of fit in there somewhere. This is basically the general format. And we have a lot of fun. We've been doing it for almost 3 years. We've interviewed a lot of creators. There's a lot of publishers, a lot of other podcasters. And, you know, talking to all the writers and artists is one of the main reasons that I wanted to even get into comics, and part of the reason that George and I partnered up.
Before
podcasting,
before I even got on this show as a co-host, before Nate even started, I got into podcasts. And I want to say that your podcast was actually one of the few ones on the nerdy side that I even checked out. The Comical Podcast.
Like way before you knew these guys?
Yes, way before. In fact, before us? When you messaged me and said, hey, these guys have a Kickstarter, I'm like, oh, cool. And I looked into it, and one of them was a, you know, host on the Comical Podcast. I'm like, that's kind of neat. That's weird. Something I wasn't expecting.
It was full circle.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's funny, though, that it's kind of full circle because he called us out unintentionally because we are one of those podcasts that is about comic books that... We talk about comic books. I do. I try to get reviews in here and there. However, we definitely focus more on the movie and television side of the comic world, to be honest.
And that's okay. I mean, a lot of shows do. I just, you know, for our show, we wanted to really focus on the books more so because nobody else was doing it.
Well, see, that's what keeps you, you know, relevant and into it, because that's someplace that people know that they can go to when they want to hear actual news on comics.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you guys, I can't remember the episode I listened to. There was somebody's third pick of the week was your top pick, and it was, I can't remember. I have a terrible memory, so let's move on. Which one of you guys wants to go first? I need to know, how do we get here with you guys and your love of comic books? You both seem like comic book nerds. You seem like you know your stuff. So where does the journey actually start? How did you guys get here?
Pretty interesting.
Sure, go for it.
Well, like I said, I've been doing comic book interviews for 3 years, talking to writers and stuff, and I wanted to get into writing my own book. That's something that I always had a passion for as a kid, but I hadn't really explored it in a long time. So I started kind of outlining the story that I had my idea for, but it wasn't all that great. The actual
story. Oh, he's being.
Uh-oh, what happened?
So I hadn't really done much work on. And George approached me. We were at one of his co-hosts' birthday parties. George approached me and said he had this great idea. It was a script he had written years before, because George has always been into filmmaking. That's something he wanted to do, was be a movie director. So he's written tons and tons of movie scripts, and this was originally a script idea that he had that he approached me with and said, do you think this would work as a comic? And I said, yeah, I think it would, actually. So then the two of us decided to give it a shot. And we had a bunch of meetings and sat down and fleshed everything out. And we've been working really hard for about 7 months now, meeting twice a week, most weeks. And we've gotten, so far, 3 issues fully written, 6 issues outlined. And we plan on doing 20 issues total for the story.
Yeah, so that's a good little series. And you guys have a cohesive story that you're going to be able to tell. So it's good that you're planning, obviously. So now, outside of the first issue is obviously the Kickstarter. What's the plan for issues 2 through 20?
Well, we're hoping to shop
around. Hopefully you get picked up, yeah.
Is there any specific publishers you guys are looking at? Is this going to just kind of be like a just grind mode until someone... I know it's difficult. The industry is extraordinarily difficult to actually get into, but... You guys have a really solid story idea. I mean, in the idea itself, not having read the book, I love what you guys have, and I'm excited to see 20 issues of this story. So
thank you.
It's kind of like, what do you guys what does it take to get you guys published officially and in, you know, like a diamond publication book or something of that nature?
Well, I've made a lot of contacts over the years doing interviews. I've had to talk to people that are involved in several of the major companies. I have their email addresses. I've got a rapport with them already. So I'm hoping I can use those connections to try to get our foot in the door, at least get them to look at our pitch once we have the physical copy in hand. If that doesn't work out, we're also friends with a bunch of smaller press companies that some of them have already expressed interest in taking the book and publishing it themselves. So we do have a plan in place if we can't get our foot in the door with the big ones, but we're hoping still.
Man, that's exciting. So take us back to the beginning. We'll start with George this time. George, where does your love for comic books like start? Like, you're little, you're a kid, your first superhero, stuff like that.
Oh, man, I wanted to be cool with the rest of the kids, and everybody was reading X-Men, and I was the only one watching the cartoon show. And people were telling me, oh, there's so much more story. You got to read the comics. And then I went into the comic store, and I fell in love with Batman comics. And from there, it just kind of took off. And I never really wavered away from loving movies. Movies has always been my first thing. And movies and comics these days, actually for the last, I don't know, 15, 20, almost 20 years now, been kind of going hand in hand. So...
Absolutely.
And the smartest guy in comics I know is Justin. And so when I knew I couldn't afford to make this into a movie, I was like, Justin, what's going on? Do you think this is a viable story? And he's like, yeah, you should do it into a comic book. And here we are, 7 months later.
Man, it's just you guys believed in each other. And you're near, you're near the finish line. So I'm really hoping to see that you guys get successfully funded. I know I'm going to plug the absolute hell out of this to get everybody to your page, to your Kickstarter, because as I've said like 50 times, I'm, you know, gushing over here how good I love the concept. I like old school things. I mean, that's just who I am. So Tesla, that time frame, your story, it's awesome. Now, on the flip side, Justin, where does your journey into comics start? Like, where does the flame ignite for you?
Well, I've always been a fan of cartoons and, you know, comic book kind of stuff. And I think the first comics I ever really read were the comics that were included on the back of the Masters of the Universe action figures.
Cool.
Remember those little 3-inch comic books that came with those guys?
Yeah.
So, like, I love.
You buy like a collection of that recently, right?
Yeah, they actually collected them all into one hardcover a couple months ago.
Oh, badass!
Yeah. But I used to, you know, love He-Man. I still love He-Man, but I always did when I was a kid. And I read those comics, and that got me into it. And then when I got a little bit older and I wanted to really get into comics, I remember they used to sell these like 4-packs of junk comics for like $1 at KB Toy Stores. And so I would just save my money, and I would go there, and I'd buy everything I could. And it was usually just Magnus Robot Fighter and Turok and, you know, just junk. Like, I mean, not all of it was terrible, but I mean, it was nothing Marvel or DC. Until one day, I managed to snag some X-Force comics. Ooh. And X-Force number 2 was one of the first Marvel books I really read, and I fell in love with Deadpool immediately.
I was going to say, that's the second appearance of Deadpool, I believe.
Yeah, I fell in love with Deadpool, couldn't get enough of him. I had friends that were already into X-Men and Spawn and stuff like that, so I started trading, you know, baseball cards or toys or whatever I could to get comic books for my friends, and built up kind of a pretty impressive collection for like a 10-year-old, mostly of Deadpool stuff or really cool X-Men stuff. And then as I got older, I kind of went away from it a little while, but when I came back to it real strong in 2000, and right around the time I got into Walking Dead, I started reading that before the show came out. And then I've been collecting ever since. Now I have a huge monster of a collection.
I also have a huge monster. Well, I'm guessing your comic collection's probably triple mine, I would say. I think I have probably close to 7,000 books.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean,
mine's only about 16,000 at this point. So
that's still huge. That's crazy. That's all. Where do you store them all? Do you have a comic room?
I have a closet, and I went to short box format instead of long boxes because I could fit them perfectly into the closet. and they're stacked almost to the ceiling. And then I have another room that is like our exercise room that we don't use as much as we should that I kind of stuff the rest of them into.
Awesome. Man, yeah. I do the long drawer boxes. That's my format. So, nice. But it's you're beautiful at segueing. I love it. It's so good because I don't even have to do much work to talk about it. But let's real quick. You mentioned that you read The Walking Dead. I am a huge fan of The Walking Dead. I'm guessing you have issues 1 and 2. Damn it, they're the only two issues I'm missing. But they just recently released a web book. Brian Vaughn, I believe, is the writer. And he kind of made a deal with Image. They said, you know, he said, hey, will you publish this book for me? And there was kind of a deal made. And he jokingly said, oh, well, I want to write something for The Walking Dead. And Kirkman said, yeah, let's do it. That's cool. Like, go for it. So he wrote this webcomic called The Alien. And I loved the concept of, first of all, before we get into the actual story, it's a pay what you want book. So you go to their site. You donate however many dollars you think they deserve. On the hindsight, I went a little flat. I probably should have given them more than $5 because I thought the story was really good. But what did you guys think, Brandon? I'm gonna kind of kick it over to you first. You read The Alien, man. What are your thoughts on this book?
First thoughts that without breaking into the story is that it actually was visually different. It kind of had its own style to it.
I agree. I agree with that.
I mean, when you read like over 150 issues of The Walking Dead, you get used to the look and the feel of the book. And this was like instantly, it was like I was reading something else for a second until it kind of started picking up a little bit.
It had no gray tones. It was all black, white, or there's the beauty. And you don't even I don't think I realized it the first time I read it. And then in my second read through, I was like, oh shit, there's blood and it's colored red.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks so awesome, you know? Now, Justin, you told me you read it. George, you're out of the game for Walking Dead from what I was told. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got tired of the monotony of Walking Dead after a while, and I just kind of bowed out. And I let other people kind of, like, clue me in. I'm trying to keep up with the TV show, but it keeps making me not want to watch it.
Okay. Well, that's a whole other thing we could talk about if we want. But, so real quick though, Justin, what are your reactions on The Alien?
Well, you know, it had the big revelation of, who the main character is, but I thought the revelation was that, the contagion or whatever you want to call it, The Walking Dead is not just confined to America.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the biggest thing about the book was that it revealed that it exists throughout the world, not just here.
Yeah. It's global.
This is the first time we've really seen that.
Well, yeah, especially in the book. They've gone to lengths in the show to sort of, like, make it a little bit more broad to where you know that this has been affected worldwide. Like, I think they even did, like, a little webisode series where they mention half-acidly that China kind of has this under control.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember what season that aired, but I do remember sitting there on YouTube watching all of those. But in the book, I think this is one of the very first times that they've ever... definitely shown, but even spoke about like another country dealing with this sort of epidemic.
And I mean, talk about better late than never, but like 150 issues later, we get the reveal on what's up with Rick's little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole concept of this story is we have this character, Jeff, and he is in an alley and he sees this little boy trying to get into safety, and there's walkers that attack him and obviously kill him, and Jeff tries to fight him off, and then he is saved by this knight, if you will, Claudia, and they kind of had some interaction together, and you kind of start to learn to like these characters, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, like, I hope they do more of these. And then the book kind of furthers on a little bit, and they have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan goes horribly, and I didn't really see it, but is it underwater? When is that when Jeff gets the bite?
Well, because
it, or did it just grab and scratch him? Because
it looked like a scratch to me.
That's what I thought too. The panel didn't really, that was the one thing I was a little frustrated. It didn't really convey very well,
mm-hmm,
whether he was bitten whether it was just a scratch. You never really saw the altercation up close because of the panel that they used to describe that scene when Claudia fell in and he tried to save her. But then it's over. Mm-hmm. And Jeff has admitted his fate, where we get the huge reveal of his brother Richie. And Richie, I was like, oh, Richie, cool. Who's Richie? And then it was like, they call him Rick now. And I went, oh, fuck. Is this really happening? And then they just, you know, list off everything that happens to Rick in the first book. And I'm just like, whoa, they're actually bringing this guy back. Awesome. They haven't mentioned that Rick had a brother since issue 3.
I know, because I kind of forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had to go back and like read.
A lot of people did.
Yeah. But I mean, are you guys excited for Claudia to eventually find Rick, hopefully?
I would assume that maybe some point down the line they'll bring her in. The thing is that like the whole point of them, they're trying to get back to America. They're in Barcelona, Spain. Yep. I don't think we mentioned that, but they're in Barcelona. They're trying to get back, and he's trying to get back because he found out that his brother, Rick, was shot and is in a coma, and then all hell breaks loose, and then they have a quarantine. Because I think, Jeff, I just called him Richie. Didn't he say that he kind of like decided to go wander the earth, kind of like Kung Fu or something like that?
Yeah. He was just kind of being like a vagabond.
Right. Like he really couldn't find his way in life. He decided to just kind of take off. And
yeah. And then his brother gets shot and all hell breaks loose. And it's beautiful poetry, you know, that his brother is like, assumedly, the last thing he was thinking about as he turned. And then, well, we'll hopefully see what happens to Claudia. Justin, what do you think they could do with this new character that they introduced? I mean, it's kind of, it would be foolish, in my opinion, and I want your opinion, it would be foolish to just introduce this little book and then go, let's do nothing with it, right?
Yeah, I think most likely we're going to see her appear in the TV series before we see her appear in the books. There's too much going on in the story in the books right now with the Whisperers and Negan escaping and all that kind of stuff. I think there's a better chance of seeing her show up on the TV series right off the bat.
Hmm. I wouldn't mind that, actually.
That'd be really neat. I mean, because I'm someone who I really enjoy the series across multiple mediums. One of my favorite stories that they've done for the series was the first season of the Walking Dead video game that Telltale did with the Lee character, and that story is set in the comic universe because they even introduced, they show the backstory for Lily, mm-hmm. who ends up killing the governor in that story. And I would like to see like versions of maybe a version of Lee or Clementine show up on the television show at some point.
Ooh.
But I mean, I guess Lee is a little bit far too gone at this point, storyline wise, but definitely like Clementine. I would like to see something happen with that.
Hmm. I could see that happening for sure. So let's dive into some randomness, Brandon. Let's throw these guys some random questions. What do you think?
Sure, go ahead.
Random questions. All right.
Mm-hmm. George, what's the last movie you saw in a theater?
Yesterday, I saw Jungle Book.
Oh, okay. Well, how was it?
Way better than expected. The animation in that far superior than I can imagine. It's crazy to know that that movie, like 90% of that is all green screen.
Mm-hmm.
And they shot all of it on a soundstage. And then when you watch it, it doesn't look like a soundstage. Favreau did an amazing job with that. There's only one nitpick thing about the whole movie, but other than that, it's a good rendition of the Jungle Book.
Cool. Brandon, do you intend to see the Jungle Book?
Maybe not until it comes out.
Okay.
On like video or like DVD or something like that.
I'm kind of in the same book, so I got to know what's the pick? What's your complaint?
And if y'all familiar with the original Jungle Book?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So this version of the Jungle Book kind of like takes pieces from the animated cartoon that Disney made and mix it with the book a little bit, and they like force fed the singing in this movie, and it kind of felt like a little weird when they had the part with King Louis trying to sing, which was played by Christopher Walken. It just felt a little it felt a little forced and unnecessary, but other than that, everything was pretty good. And then maybe the kid probably could have redo some of his scenes, but other than that, it was good.
Now Disney did this version as well too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, Disney has done every version of Jungle Book.
Well, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just thinking because I think there's another version with Andy Serkis coming out.
Really?
Something like that.
Right. And that it's the prequel to Jungle Book. It's called The Jungle Book.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah, you know, Disney's been kicking ass with these live-action renditions of, like, their classic stories. I heard they're doing Peter Pan at some point.
Again?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
There have been so many different renditions of the Peter Pan story throughout the years.
It's true.
Yeah.
Resident
Evil. The one that came out, like, 2005, I think it was.
Okay, yeah. Oh, wait. It was around that time, yeah.
It was like 2005 or 2004. I like that version. I thought that was pretty good.
Brandon, your turn.
My 2 cents.
Random question.
Random question. We'll head over to George again since this first question I thought of, since he hosts a something to do with metal podcast. What's the last album that you listened to?
Ooh.
Last metal album or last album? You gotta be more specific.
Okay, well, I mean, we can do, okay, then do one of each. What's the last album, and then the last specifically metal album?
I think you should tell him the truth, George.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to. That's why I asked him to specify, because I listened to a metal album like 4 days ago. Last album I listened to yesterday was M83's new album.
All right.
The metal album I listened to was... Hold on, let me check my Spotify and I'll get back to you, because I don't remember.
Okay, that's fair. So we'll throw it over to Justin. Justin, what's your all-time favorite television series?
Oh, that's a real tough one.
That's what I do. I ask the tough questions.
I think I have to go with South Park.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
In general. I mean, I love South Park.
Are you Lord? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Awesome.
I wanted the metal album question. I don't think George answered it properly.
Oh.
Oh no. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, let's just continue on,
George,
Justin.
They have a segment. They have a segment on Metal Geeks called George Hates Metal.
Oh.
Because George is not the biggest metalhead of the group. I mean, Dave and Carrie, his two co-hosts, are hardcore metalheads. Like, they listen to everything. George likes some stuff, but George also doesn't like other things.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces of metal out there that I do not like.
Okay.
And I'm picky about my metal. Let's just put it that way.
Respect. I understand that. I, too, am picky about my metal.
If I was going to answer the question about the metal album, I would say the new Amon Amarth album is absolutely fucking awesome.
Haven't yet heard it, Brandon. Have you?
I haven't heard the whole thing, but I heard a song or two. I think it was on YouTube, or like maybe they did like a... I saw them share it on Facebook, and then I went and I clicked on it and listened to it. It was pretty badass.
Sick.
That's really, really good.
According to my Spotify, I listened to Anthrax 4 days ago.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Throwing it back a little bit old school. Throw it into the new...
It was a new album by Anthrax.
Oh,
right.
How is that?
It's actually really good.
Cool. You know, I've always said, and Brandon, I don't know if this goes dates back to when you were still in the band, but to me, the thing I will say about Anthrax is they should have been labeled as a punk band and not metal, because while they play really fast metal-y riffs, structurally speaking, they have very simplistic style.
Well, okay, the older style, I can agree with you on there.
Okay, yeah. That's more where I'm talking.
Like, because I've always been like a mediocre Anthrax fan, but then Worship Music won me over.
Okay.
That album really won me over.
That was like 4 years ago?
Something like, it was like right around the time they did the Big Four.
The Big Four, right?
Yeah.
So that's 2012, I think, was the Big
11
Four.
Or 12, yeah, something like that. Okay. That album kicked ass, and I actually made Blaine, our friend Blaine, and Rob, Silent Rob, listen to that on our way down to see Sabbath, I'm pretty sure.
Sweet.
And they were both like, this is Anthrax? I'm like, yeah, dude, this is like... It sounds pretty cool.
You just gave me George's next question.
Go for it.
Hey, George, what's the last metal concert you went to?
It was Lamb of God that Anthrax opened for Lamb of God.
Oh, awesome. That's cool. Yeah. That's real cool.
I shot pictures for that show. That's why I went to it.
Oh, so you're a photographer as well?
Yeah, I'm a photographer and a videographer, freelance.
You're a man of many talents.
I try.
Your turn. Question? Got one?
Maybe.
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 This is why it's the random questions.
All right, section. Right. All right. What exactly, and this is go this can go for both of you, but I guess we'll start with Justin. What got you into podcasting?
Ooh, great question.
I've been listening to podcasts for a long time, like Dignation when it was around. I was a big fan of that. Tell 'em Steve Dave though is really the one show that inspired me and made me want to do this myself. I've been a big fan of those guys ever since they first started. I like Kevin Smith too. I like most of the shows he does, but I feel like Tell 'em Steve Dave is the best show on this podcast network. And you know, I got to meet Brian Johnson finally, and he's everything I expected him to be. Very surly, very not friendly, but still awesome at the same time. He was a big inspiration for me and a big reason, big driving force behind me wanting to do this myself.
Excellent, excellent. Now, George, same question for you. What gets you into podcasting?
For me, it was Kevin Smith, and then Kevin Smith was a big introducer to it, and then it was like all the Nerdist shows that I started listening to. And then I met Carrie through work, and I kept bugging him about getting me on the show because I felt like I had a loud, obnoxious opinion that needed to be heard. And I kept bugging him until he got me on the show, and that guy was a guest, and then I became a co-host. So,
And he's regretted it ever since.
He probably has, but it was Justin's advice. So thank you, Justin, for making Carrie put me on the show.
You're welcome, George.
So then maybe this is the obvious question, but how did you two meet? Are you guys in the same town? Is it you guys in the same area? I guess I don't, you know, you guys are all over the place. So, yeah, how did you guys meet?
We both live in Houston, and I had been doing comical podcasts for about 6 months or to a year maybe. And there's a huge convention in town called Comic Palooza. And Carrie was the social media manager for Comic Palooza for a while. And they were having an event at one of the local comic shops. So when I posted about our show, he reached out to me. He was like, hey, I'm a fellow podcaster. Why don't you come down and we'll meet and whatever. So I went and met Carrie, and he and I kind of became fast friends. And we've been working together on various projects ever since. And he introduced George to me. I think the first time we met was at that 15-minute sneak preview. Yeah, it was like a 15-minute sneak preview of Guardians of the Galaxy. It was the first time George and I met.
Awesome.
And right. We made each other laugh a couple times, and then he showed up for the podcast the first time he was on, and I was there too. Carrie did like a whole roundtable thing that day, and we hit it off. We've been friends ever since, I think.
Heck yeah, man. That's awesome. And you guys, now the obvious question is, do you guys don't have a podcast with each other dedicated to each other, like... thing, not dedicated to each other. That was a little. That wasn't what I was saying. But
that's like a really big like what's that term? Like broship or bro friends? What's the word I'm looking for?
Bromance is the word, bro.
I don't know. We see each, for the past 6 months. We've been seeing each other at least twice for about twice a week.
For hours on end. Yeah.
Yeah. Hours on end. So if we don't get enough of each other by then, that something's wrong.
Maybe the better question would have been, will the Speak Some Evil podcast, which is a behind-the-scenes look of your book, spawn into a more of a full-time thing where you can alternately talk about story ideas, concepts, whatever you guys want to talk about, obviously. You guys have free reign to do whatever the hell you want. You're grown adults.
I don't think so, but... only mostly because of time constraints. Like we're so busy with so many different projects. I don't think that we'd have time to add another podcast to it. I mean, I would love to do a show with George full time. We have a lot of fun together, but the comic is enough, I think, for the two of us right now. It's really hard to find time to add more things to our schedule.
Just wait till we start touring the book across the country. Then that'll be a lot more fun.
Oh, is that the plan?
I don't know. I'm just throwing big hopes in the air. Who knows?
Dude, that would be amazing. If you guys are ever, well, I mean, depending on where I am at that time, if you're ever either in LA or Chicago, yeah, I can show you around. That's all I'm saying.
I'll take you up on that offer.
I currently reside in Chicago, but there may be rumblings to be in LA before the end of the year. So
I have a quick question for either of you, whoever got this. How did you guys get hooked up with our good friend of this show, Seek Donnelly?
Oh, great question.
Okay, so when I first started Comical, we were planning on just doing reviews. We weren't really looking to be an interview show right off the bat. But Omar Spahi, the owner of Awesome Comics, which employs Seek, he's one of the editors for them. He had just released his book, Thaniel, and he was looking for shows to come on. So we were one of the first podcasts that interviewed Omar, and he hooked us up with Seek. And then we helped Seek promote some of his Kickstarters, like Monomyth and Ellen Vital. So we've been friends for a long time. Actually, Seek was the first person who read Speak No Evil once we had it all put together and gave us a ton of advice, and we've improved the book tremendously because of his input.
That's badass.
Actually, I think he read it before it was even called Speak No Evil.
Yeah, he did.
What was the tentative title then when it was, or was it just untitled at that point?
Originally it was called The Box.
Yeah.
There's something mysterious and sexy about that.
Very ominous.
It was like the Pandora's box kind of thing, because the boys find a box full of the stuff left behind, and if they open it, play with the machinery, they may release things into the world they don't mean to. It was very much a parallel to Pandora's box, which I liked. But it worked better as a subtitle for the first issue than it did as the overall title for the story.
Cool.
Yeah, I kept on poo-pooing him about that. I was like, yeah, it's not enough.
Did you get another question, Brandon? You got one off your head or no?
Not really.
Do you guys collect anything like toys or figures or anything that takes up space in your house that you're like, shit, I got to stop this?
I need to stop buying Ninja Turtle toys is what I need to do.
Okay, I saw on your Speak No Evil video you were wearing a Krang shirt, I do believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Loved it. I was like, yeah, Ninja Turtles, Ninja Turtles are my first love, so.
You know,
man, love Ninja Turtles.
I don't watch.
I'm a big art collector.
Oh yeah, are you?
Oh,
a lot of original art pages from various artists that I'm a big fan of. I'm also a huge Deadpool fan. I've got a ton of Deadpool statues and figures and posters and all kinds of stuff. I even have one of the marquee posters from the movie that just came out, like the giant ones that covers up an entire wall.
That's
in my office.
That's excellent.
When I was a kid,
I need to stop buying movie posters as well. I have too many movie posters and not enough wall space.
When I was a kid, one of my first collections was a really like the original Ninja Turtle figure set. And
nice.
Yeah. Well, obviously I was a kid, so they were played with, but I ended up inheriting a lot from my cousin. Well, I used to have all these offshoot side characters that they introduced, through the cartoon. And I haven't really watched the new cartoon myself. My boy's not old enough and I just haven't had the general curiosity. However, I do get a little bit more each time I cross by the toy section of my local store I go into and start seeing all these newer versions of these old offshoot B characters that they had back then. I just get so giddy and I really mark out.
Have they made a Manta Ray yet?
I think they have.
What?
I think they have. Yeah. I mean,
they have. Yeah, they have.
Oh, that's amazing.
I have one of the old Manta Ray toys.
Yeah, me too. Mondo Gecko.
Mm-hmm.
Mondo Gecko's in there.
What was it? Genghis Toad, I think, was his name. Or Genghis Toad.
I don't think
Toad?
They got there yet.
Was he the toy that he looked kind of like a tourist or?
Yeah.
Was that the character?
I don't remember.
The one that really, that I was just walking by, I didn't even pay attention. It was the that one android, the human android that looked very simple and chrome back in the day.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. He had the spaghetti arms.
Yes, yes.
He had the spaghetti arms and, the cup hands.
Yep.
I can't think of his name, though.
It's some sort of human android, assistant android. I don't remember the exact name, but I remember that's like his
title. There were only a thing called the internet.
There is. However, I'm not putting a halt to the show just to look up some android from Turtles.
We've spent enough time on that, I guess. What are your aspirations outside of Speak No Evil for both you guys? After Speak No Evil is hopefully successfully funded, and then you guys can get it into the hands of publishers to get all these 20 issues out, then what?
We have other titles lined up. George is a font of ideas. Every time we have dinner, he pretty much tells me, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, geez, that's just as good as the one you came up with yesterday. Like, he has so many ideas. So we have a lot of other stories we can tell, and we probably will tell once Speak No Evil's finished.
That's excellent. I look forward to checking those out. So comical podcast. Let's talk about that for a minute. You guys are on iTunes, obviously. It's funny. I always say, how can you find your guys' podcast? Go on iTunes and search, and 9 times out of 10, you'll find any of the podcasts that you're looking for if you know their name. So you guys are on iTunes. How long have you been doing The Comical? For 3 years?
Almost 3 years, yeah.
Man, that's crazy. We're entering year 2, and we are getting ready to hit episode 100, which is wild. It's like a...
Oh, congratulations, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're...
a big milestone.
Yeah, we're at what?
Is there anything special to celebrate?
Can we talk about that, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we can at this point.
So, we are going to be going to Villains Con, which is this comic convention in Danville, Illinois, which is kind of by where we originate from. And we're a part of, like, panel hosting, and we're going to be doing some interviews. Psycho Stick is performing. There's tentatively lined up that we're going to have something to do with the voices of Zed from Power Rangers, Goldar, and Rita.
Cool.
There, I mean, Deanna Troi's going to be there, right?
Yeah, Brandon? Marina Sirtis.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else.
Not
is...
a villain.
She's no, not a villain. She's a hero, but they have. Yeah, it's just
It's being hosted by this store called Vintage Villains. That is a collectible store.
Thank you.
In Danville, so they call it Villains Con. Not necessarily that it has to, that you have to be a villain to show up. I mean, what would that make us? I mean. We are one villainous podcast.
We are. We're the most villainous podcast.
And then I can't remember the actor's name off the top of my head, but he was the head. He was the lead actor for Eureka. Chris. Is his name Chris?
Oh, yeah. I think Brandon's probably going to...
I'm IMDBing it.
I thought he would just Facebook it. But yeah, so we're going to be there. We're probably going to host our 100th from Villains Con Live. My tentative plan is actually to... do a big trivia game, and I've got some pretty tough questions on that.
Colin Ferguson, I was wrong.
Oh, Colin Ferguson. Nice.
Cool.
So yeah,
that sounds cool, guys. That sounds like fun.
I think it'll be a lot more relaxing than our 50th.
Maybe, I don't know.
We were pretty adventurous, and for our 50th episode, we tried to get every person who had ever been on the show at the same time in some facet. Which included having a total of 4 people on Skype and a total of 6 people in the room plus us.
Yeah.
So it was an insane, packed, dumb day. And when it was time to start talking about what we were going to do for 100, it was like, let's just keep it simple.
Yeah.
As few people as possible.
Yeah. We'll be teaming up with our buddy Wes.
Yeah.
And
Broke Ass Podcast Network.
Yep. And then he does stuff with them. And then so we're going to be teaming up with them, and we're going to be doing hosting panels, other events, whatever. You know, it hasn't been exactly finalized what everybody's going to be doing yet. We need to get Wes on the show and definitely break down this whole weekend, because we're going to be there all 3 days.
Yeah. It's going to be a long one for us. But enough about us. Let's finish with you guys. Let's finish strong. Where can people get your Kickstarter? I don't think we even mentioned the link or how to find you or search you or any of those things. We just said, hey, listen to find their fucking Kickstarter somehow. So let them know.
The easiest way is to just go to graybearcomics.com. That's G-R-A-Y, bearcomics.com. And it'll take you straight to the Kickstarter. Or you can go to Kickstarter and just do a search for Speak No Evil. And that, you know, it should come up.
Excellent. I
hope it does.
I hope so, too.
It does. Yeah, we're the first hit when that happens.
Well, that's excellent. So you guys are just under $700 left, 8 days to go. I'm really looking forward to it. Brandon, did you have anything else you wanted to add to these guys before we cut this episode loose?
I think I'm good, man.
Okay. You know what? I almost want to bring it up. Unless you guys have somewhere to be. I don't know how big of Star Wars fans you guys are, but I recently came across an article... I recently came across an article that I sent to Brando that I think garners a little bit of conversation, and you guys can definitely join in. Have you guys seen the preliminary script leak for episode 8 and what it might entail?
No.
Huh. Okay. Brandon, how do you want to start this?
Well, okay. So Nate sent me a link. I believe it was Saturday morning at 2:03 a.m. I was sound asleep. It was the first thing I woke up to and read.
Jesus. Sorry. I spoiled your whole day.
Well, no, you spoiled the movie.
Oh, that's but true.
If this is in fact true, if they don't change this because of they are in production with the movie. But essentially, somebody wrote a Yahoo News article. Chris Smith is his name, posted on the 22nd of April, and said, the title is Purported Star Wars Episode 8 Plot Leaks, and I really hope it's fake. Obviously, this person isn't a fan of what this is.
Yeah, no, he seemed pretty frustrated. Just to kind of topically describe a few things, while he said there are some echoings of Empire Strikes Back being in the second part of this trilogy, that they kind of divvy far, far away from that in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There is a big character split. It's kind of a movie that's shot in thirds. You're going to get Rey's story, you're going to get Finn and Poe, and you're going to get Kylo Ren. And that's all building to something bigger.
It'll probably converge towards the end.
But the big thing to talk about Rey is that it is... She essentially, according to this, says to Luke, how could you abandon me? You know, you're my dad and everything. And Luke apparently looks at her kind of confused and goes, no, you are my father. Because she's a force spirit of Anakin. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. What the fuck, really?
I had heard a rumor a while ago that one of the theories was that she was the reincarnation of Anakin. Which, I mean, it's not that bad, but it's a little weird.
It is a nice split. It's a nice change from the, you know, they're pretty much, instead of giving everybody exactly what they expect, and have it, oh, of course, she's Luke's daughter. Well, no, that was my second theory. At first, I was thinking, theory A was, well, she's Luke's daughter. And I'm like, well, what if she is like Anakin and was born of the Force? And when you look into it and you're thinking about the prophecy from the prequels, right? What if it's a prophecy because it's happened before, but everyone around is still just, maybe with the exception of Yoda, who knows, but maybe this has happened before, but no one remembers it. And so they take it as like a prophecy. Maybe this is a reoccurring thing that the Force does when there needs to be a rebalance. Like maybe Anakin was the rebalance, getting rid of all the Jedi, and now she is the Force awakening.
To get rid of the Sith.
Well, or just to reawaken it, because it has essentially, it's gone. So whether or not she is the actual reincarnation of Anakin, or rather not just another being created of the Force. Because it actually goes into more detail, but was there something else that someone had to say? I think I cut somebody off.
Oh, you're good.
Okay. There was something more that was said where it says Luke is a little bit he's not sure if he should train her. He's kind of afraid that she's going to become Vader 2.0. And then I think, from what I understand, from what this leak says, that he actually has like a conversation with Yoda and Obi-Wan.
Which is Ewan McGregor's
Obi-Wan? Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan.
Which I thought was weird. Obviously, you can't get Alec Guinness.
No. Well, I mean...
Yeah, I was like, Alec Guinness won't do it. He's dead.
But I mean, you know, you can make him look a little older, or maybe just have him just, you know, just be the younger version. It doesn't really matter to me. I thought he played a great Obi-Wan. But, and then, I guess at some point, Rey is going to have a conversation with Maz and has a vision of Anakin and talks to Anakin, who says, you are me, but you aren't me.
Like, she has the opportunity to fix what he screwed up.
Or if either that, or, you know, what you can think whatever you want. You can think that you are me, but literally, you write your own destiny.
Ooh.
And, of course, tentatively, Anakin will be portrayed by Hayden Christensen, which I am 100% for, because a lot of people dog on him playing Anakin, but I feel like if he'd have been better directed, we may have got a better, a better Anakin out of him.
The prequel trilogy. So, what do you guys think? I mean, is this something that is, as Star Wars fans, that kind of gears your excitement? Like, yeah, let's go see this new Star Wars. Or is this something that's just like, oh, I really hope that's not true. Let's just wait for the first trailer, you know?
For me, I really wanted her to be someone not related to Anakin. I really just wanted it to be someone else. Why does the prophecy always have to revolve around the Skywalker family? It's kind of a... I don't know.
Like, why are they the lucky ones?
Yeah, like, can it just not just be, like, someone else who just happens to be powerful with the Force? Is that not possible? And I don't know.
See, I thought it would be cool if they revealed that, like, down the road, that maybe Finn was the love child of Lando and Leia.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and then he has the Force, because there was something about him holding that lightsaber. Like, I get it that it was a plot device, but I'm hoping we see more Finn with a lightsaber. I thought it was cool.
He's all, you know, Lando's all, like, you know, kind of doing his thing, and then Han's away, and he walks into his bedroom, and there she is laying there in the slave outfit, and he's like, you know, Lando's like, well, what have we here?
Oh, hell. All right, guys. Well, I think that does it for this episode of Journey into Comics. Was there anything else you guys wanted to add? I'm trying to be a proper host and not railroad you off the show, but was there anything else you would like to say on our show before we wrap this one up?
Just thanks for having us, and everybody, please go check out the Kickstarter and support us if you can. Again, it's graybearcomics.com, easiest way to get there, or just do a search for Speak No Evil on Kickstarter.
Excellent. Well, we really appreciate having Justin, you and George both on, the creators of Speak No Evil, founders of Grey Bear Comics, I do believe, host of Comical Podcast, host of Metal Nerds?
Metal Geeks.
Sorry, I fucked that up on the fly. I'm learning about your podcast like today, so I'll be checking that out shortly. But if that's all, Brandon, did you have anything else to add?
I'm done.
All right, then we'll wrap this episode. Thanks for listening to Journey into Comics. I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
And have a good one. Later.